Blog Talk Radio.
Good to be back, sir. How are you guys doing, gentlemen?
We're
doing great.
Good, good.
Of course,
got this part of the world is walking on air because we have a new grandson. And,
oh, yes,
absolutely
I saw
beautiful.
That.
Yep.
Congratulations.
Yep. And Frankie has chosen to name him after the founder of the program, his brother
I
Bob.
That.
So it's yep. So it's Robert Anthony Carroll. So it was, was a pleasure visiting with him. But Ty, tell us what's been going on in your life since you've been off in New York there.
Yeah, my movie premiered in New York at Doc New York.
Nice.
The New York Film Festival is the biggest documentary film festival in North America.
Nice.
And the last 5 years, the Oscar winner has premiered at Doc New York. So though we will not be the Oscar winner, I can safely say that I am probably friends with whoever will be the Oscar winner for documentary filmmaking this year.
Good.
We just got an offer sheet from a company to go ahead and buy the rights to the film to be able to put it on air and streaming services, and hopefully we'll get it out to the general public in the early quarter of next year.
Congratulations. Great.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
And, I talked to Mr. Mel last Saturday, and he didn't sound too hot. He was he's back in the hospital. Can you give us an update on him?
Yeah, he's home now.
Ah,
and
good.
He's doing better, actually. So, yeah, that's
excellent.
Where he's at right now. So.
Good, good.
He played a
big part in my son's lives, and he'll never be a person that we'll ever forget. Of course,
thank
being as tall as he is, he's a big person in everybody's life.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you think? Roy Jones doesn't want to. Did want to make a prediction on the Kovalev Ward fight. What's your thought on that?
On Roy Jones' opinion of it?
No, I know what Roy Jones. I know your opinion of Roy Jones.
I was going to say, I can understand Roy Jones not necessarily having a pick because I know for me personally, over the past week, my mind has changed to retire. A case could be made for either fighter, which makes this such a good fight. You have two of the very best in the business, more than likely the very best at the weight, two of the top five. Pound for pound, according to Ring Magazine, and it's a 50-50 fight. You know, there's really no clear-cut dominant advantage for anyone. Obviously, we would say Sergey Kovalev's power, but Andre Ward's boxing IQ kind of cancels that out, just like his power cancels out Ward's boxing IQ. So I'm not surprised that Roy would not have a solid opinion on this fight. I think a lot of people make opinions, but them themselves could see the fight going either way. And today, when I read the Ring Magazine's writer's poll of opinions, though more favored Andre Ward, just about everybody said, hey, it could go the other way, too. So, I mean, it's a true 50-50 fight.
Mm-hmm. Guys, I was reading that article this morning in yesterday's. They had a HBO did a special on Andre
right.
Ward, and actually it was done very well, I thought.
I heard. I didn't see it, but I heard.
Yeah, it talked about his upbringing, the fact that, he and his brother were, their father was addicted to heroin, and he and his brother their mother had died. They ended up in a foster home, and it traced his life, and he traced his life back, and how he got into boxing, and now how he's mentoring young men that have been in the same situation he's in. So
yeah, Andre Ward more boxers need to be like Andre Ward. He is truly a role model. He doesn't necessarily resonate with the general public, quite frankly, just because he doesn't have knockout power and because he dominates his opponents so thoroughly, so his fights don't tend to lack. They tend to lack drama. And because he's a guarded personality, he's not braggadocious, he's not flamboyant, but there's nothing necessarily about him that attracts the casual eye to him except the fact that he's an exceptional person and an exceptional fighter, simple as that.
Yeah, he seems to, just from his demeanor, he reminded me an awful lot of, I was talking to Keith Thurman earlier today. He's not feeling well. He was supposed to join us tonight, but he's not feeling well. But he will be back with us sometime in December. He last week he went up and actually was one of the commentators for Spike on the Cena fight.
God damn, he's based in Philly.
Yeah. He took it right up there. And I was talking to him about that. And he said, yeah, they were just up there. And they flew him right back the next day. And, you know, he's taking this week off because of the holiday. But he's right in camp and ready to go. He said, you know, they may call him Slick, but he's going to be as fast and as hard as he ever could be.
That's another good fight, man. That's a fight that you can favor one guy or the other, but you can obviously, you know, you can explain a path to victory for both fighters. Those are the kind of fights I like to see, where it's like, you know what, I may favor Keith Thurman, but I can see Danny, if he does this, this is how he can win the fight. You know what I mean? I love fights like that because you just never know how they're going to play out because, again, paper burns and fights play out in the ring, my friend.
Yeah. Brady, you get a you have a report ready for us tonight?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most of it is just Eagles stuff. But last Sunday, the Eagles, they had a great game because their blocking, their run block was, like, it was outstanding. Ryan Matthews, who doesn't really have good days, like, he can't really run. He just gets two-yard rushes. He doesn't really get anywhere. But he was getting through the line. He was scoring. He was getting 15-yard runs.
Mm-hmm.
I think the line improved because Atlanta beat Denver, I think. Atlanta
sure.
even beat Denver. So I'm pretty sure we developed as a team.
Mm-hmm.
But we're probably going to have to work pretty hard this Sunday. The Eagles are playing the Seahawks. Like, Seahawks
mm-hmm.
are a better team, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But they're like, I don't think their defense, they can't, their defense isn't like that good, but their offensive line, like, I haven't really watched the Seahawks that much, but
mm-hmm.
I know that they're a pretty good team.
Terrific crowd that really intimidates any team that comes in there. I've been in the stadium, Uncle Frankie, when he was first out in Washington. We went to a couple games out there, and it is a very loud stadium, and
wow.
it makes it tough to make calls on the field.
Well, yeah, because they're the 12th man, aren't they? They're still
yep.
the 12th
yeah.
man,
yes,
right?
They are.
Yeah,
yep.
yes, they are.
So
yep.
and
that's
12th man to come on down
but...
and help them out on offense. That's the
mm-hmm.
problem.
yeah,
we were at our home this. When we were against Atlanta, we were in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
this is going to be a lot different because we
yeah.
don't use we actually don't use headphones. I think we use signals.
Mm-hmm.
That's the good part but it's going to be hard getting out the plays. I don't think our team communicates that well because we're young.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a young team. In
mm-hmm.
2 years,
that's
I think
point,
we'll be
Brady.
Shaping up.
That's a
yeah.
very good point.
In 2 years, I think we'll be shaving up, but not now. Like,
mm-hmm.
I think we need a better line, and if Wentz stays in there, like, he needs to get to, like, know the line. Like, that guy, I don't want to say his first name, I'm just going to say his last name, Vitae. His first name is, like, hard to pronounce. It's a ton of letters. But he just got in a few weeks ago, I think. And I think a few people got hurt. If we lose another, like, lineman, I don't think we're going to make it to the playoffs.
Mm.
I'll be happy. I don't think we're going to go to the Super Bowl, but I'll be happy if we make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good deal. Okay. So.
But yeah.
Any more football news for us, Brady?
Not really. But
okay.
I did see this one highlight reel where people were saying I forgot who it was, 55 on the defensive line, I forgot his name, but he's really good. He, like, it's not as much as he gets sacks. It's that he, like, gets – you don't really – there's no such thing as assisted sacks, but there's, like – there's been – like, every time he – most of the time he gets, like, close to the quarterback and hits him, there's usually an interception. And
yeah,
so when he gets
so,
close
so
to him –
so what he does is subtly makes plays.
Yeah.
He subtly influences plays, but it's, they don't turn up in a stat sheet.
Yeah. He makes other people get sacks. Like, I think he takes other people or something like that. But I think our defensive line is we need some changes, a little changes, but we're pretty good right there.
Yep.
One thing we need to change is our cornerbacks. Like I think McKelvin, every time like someone does a fly or something, he always, like, comes up running behind them. Cause I think we're a zone defense. We're better in...
We can't be giving it up over the top now.
Yeah. I think he gets way too close. I was watching highlights from the Atlanta last week. We won it, but Julio Jones kept getting open, like, every single time.
Wow.
He had, like, 15-yard passes... And like he got pretty far. We need to change our backs though. We need to get like experienced people. Like Malcolm Jenkins, he's really good because he's been on the team and like he's a veteran. But all the other guys are pretty young.
Yeah, and if a corner doesn't have that makeup speed, he can't play so close up to the line.
Yeah.
Yeah. Serious.
All right, Brady.
Yeah.
Is that it? That's your report?
Mm-hmm.
All right, you're a good man.
Thank you, Brady.
All right, thanks for having me.
So you aren't going to stay around?
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Hey, you, the only other thing left in this world is other than this show is Notre Dame football, and they're winning. So
they are?
Yep.
By how much?
7.
Who do they have tonight?
They're at home. It's senior day, and they're playing Virginia Tech.
Right.
Had a heck of a first half, but just like everything else this season, second half has been been their Achilles heel.
Wow.
But they did just go ahead and score again, so it's still 24-31.
Dr. Chris joining us tonight?
I'm going to get him on in just a second, yep.
Really curious to hear his word, Kovalev breakdown. That is the big event of the evening.
Yeah. Ty, what do you think? Go ahead, Brady. I'll go ahead and get him.
There's just one more football thing. I think the Bucs are like just like the Notre Dame. They don't play the second half. They just play the first half.
Let me ask you this, Brady, while he's getting Dr. Chris. What do you think of Jameis Winston, and what kind of pro quarterback do you think he's going to turn out to be?
I think if he gets more training, he'll be great. But like, did you see when they were against Chicago when he like ran away?
Not
he
right.
ran away from all those guys.
Without
he was
it,
in
wow.
like what?
No, I said I didn't see it. Yeah.
Oh yeah, but he was like he was running around. He was backed up against the one, and he was in their own end zone, and then he maneuvered his way out and then threw a long pass.
What do you think of him as a pocket passer right now?
I think he scrambles too much. I like quarterbacks that scramble. Like Randall Cunningham, he scrambled,
right.
but he got it done.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm asking. Like, is he scrambling because he's not making his reads quick enough? You think, or?
Yeah, I don't think he. Well, no, the line's giving it up way too early.
Okay.
And then he's running backwards because he doesn't have any time. They gave him, like, 3 seconds maybe, and then he's, like, running back.
Wow.
Like, if you look at the things, most of the time he's, like, halfway running back and then he runs back. That's where most of the sacks happen, when he's running back.
Okay.
To get away from the defensive line.
Hey, guys, we're joined by Dr. Chris. Chris, how you doing?
Hey, Dr. Chris.
How are you, guys?
Hey,
big day today. Big day.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. We're looking forward to it. How about you?
Yeah, I am. I'm waiting to hear if I get a freebie or not. I might have to get on my own television. Dominic said his son might have it, so we might go down to Bethel Township. If not, I'll put it on here. Right? That fight's too good to be missed.
Oh, you know, yeah. What,
sure.
What do you think?
Well, like I said last week, it's, you know, the Russian, with all that will, he's got rough and nasty against all them skills. And the only thing I'm thinking of is, the only thing that I don't like about the whole fight as far as giving a chance to the smaller guy, he hasn't been fighting much. He hurt his shoulder, then he fooled around with the management. What's he lucky to have? 2 fights in 4 years, 5 years? I mean,
yeah,
I'm wondering
fights
if I hurt him at all.
Yeah, 3 fights in 3 years.
That's not good. That's not good. And he's going to take over. You're going to fight a bigger, stronger guy who can, overpower some of his skills. But like most of the guys I know, they said, you know what, how do you bet against Andre Ward? You can't.
Sure.
Right. You just watch the fight, man, that's all. Might be a shocker.
Mm-hmm. Hey, let me ask you guys, Stavern did fail his drug test.
Right.
But they're still going to let him fight for the WBC heavyweight belt against Povetkin. Chris, what do you think about that?
Well, that's awful. Like we said last week, the heavyweight division is dying. You know, it's dying. It's not drawing any attention. It's just so they're willing to sanction anything. They're all looking for.
I don't
like it at all. If a guy failed his drug test, how the hell can you let him fight?
Sure.
I wonder what he didn't pass. What was in his blood? Did they say?
I forget actually, but according to their statement, they believe that he didn't do it intentionally. He will further undergo stringent testing. But if a guy, is it the WBA? Am I correct, Butch?
Yes.
It's part of the WBA clean boxer program. But it makes their program sound like a joke if you have a clean boxer program. You catch a boxer being, tainted with a steroid, and you still have the fight going anyway. So I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, he was taking,
what was the fine? Did they designate a fine? Anything? Did he take less money? Did the other something? He's got to be punished in some way.
Yeah, I believe what they were saying.
He may have been fined. Yeah.
Yeah, what they're saying is he took a food supplement, dimethylamine, known as DMAA, and that's what they found in his blood, along with
He apparently took something over the counter, like an over the counter supplement from GNC or what have you.
Yeah, right.
And essentially just asked the counter person, are there any banned substances in this? And they were like, no.
Isn't it crazy?
But it's incumbent upon the fighter to be responsible for what he's putting in his body. I mean, if something it has contained a supplement, that's one thing, but he has to be more responsible than to just go grab anything over the counter.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's looking for an edge. Like that dummy that plays for the Eagles. How stupid is that guy?
Mm-hmm.
That big tackle.
You got that one, Brady?
What?
The guy that plays tackle for the Eagles.
What did he do?
He shut out for 10 games.
What did he do?
All that money hurt the team.
I didn't do that.
You know, the guys, they're just plain stupid. Do something like that. Maybe the money doesn't mean that much to them. I don't know. They're broke for a while. Severn hasn't fought what? How long? I haven't seen him for a while.
I think he's only fought once since he lost his title to Deontay Wilder, if I'm correct.
Right.
And he fought Dominic Quinn and didn't look great in that fight.
No.
Yeah, no, he's a unbelievable. WBA, wow.
Yeah.
Do something like that. Wow. Doesn't surprise me anymore.
No.
The heavyweights are dead. So we'll see.
You know, another another fight that's coming up that I wanted to get you guys' thoughts on was Andy Ruiz and Joseph Parker. And that's coming up on December 10th. December 10th is a huge number of fights being being set up. And so, you know, Parker, all the secular press this year has, we're talking about Parker, Brown Parker. Ty, what do you think about that one?
About the Parker Ruiz fight, I favor Parker.
Yeah.
I mean, both guys, Parker's a little bit more tested at this point in his career. But both guys are, you know, young, undefeated prospects. So I think win or lose, both guys still have a bright future ahead of them. I just think Parker is a little bit further in his development and is a little bit better naturally. Has just a little bit more natural gifts. Although Andy Ruiz may have a more, you know, more of a better amateur pedigree. But at this point, I would have to say the Parker.
Chris?
I'll go along with what he says. I'm not really familiar with, you know, I haven't seen much of either guy. But, you know, to quote, you know, to say anything about it. But I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, I'll tell you guys what.
What are you going to do?
Two of the best fights of the year happened 2 weeks successively. One, of course, is tonight with Ward and Kovalev. Then next Saturday, you have Nicholas the Axeman Walters against Lomachenko, which
great.
Is another huge matchup.
I'll watch that one.
Yeah,
wow.
And that's you don't have to pay for that one either.
No, that's free. Geez, that's good.
Yeah, nice. That's a good matchup. Although I don't think anybody at that weight beats Lomachenko right now. I think Nicholas Walters could be the stiffest test for him.
That's going to be interesting. See, well, you know what? There's more on television about Conor McGregor fighting Mayweather. Have you guys been
following
that?
Which ain't
going to
happen. Which is not and ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, they were talking about it on Skip with the tight end and Skip, the guy that used the Dallas. What's Skip's last name?
Oh, Shannon, I think. Like Skip and Shannon.
Yeah, Shannon Sharp and Skip. They must have been arguing for a half hour on the whole thing, and I got a kick out of it. The money is unimaginable. So
yeah.
You know, I mean, and Conor McGregor's willing to fight, not using his feet. This fight is natural, you know. So he's just going for the money. What the hell does he care? Well, he don't hit hard enough to hurt him.
Yeah, as long as he's under contract for the UFC, it won't be allowed to happen. So.
Oh, really? Is that what it is? Well, for $200 million or $150 million, I think he's going to tell him to take a walk. You know?
Yeah, I mean.
That guy's crazy anyway. He is funny.
I would be surprised. Or if he could somehow negotiate money and, you know, the UFC get a huge cut. But, you know, right now he wants ownership of the UFC. So, but as long as he has that exclusivity in the contract, that fight's not going to happen.
Well, we'll see. You never know today. Money talks, guys. Money talks.
Yeah, yep. And I tell you, and the moment he's out of that contract, I wouldn't be surprised if he stepped away to have that fight at all. Because he could step away, have that fight, then come back. So I think, you know, when his contract's up, I would not be surprised to see him try to make that type of move.
Tyler looks pretty big. That would be comical. I mean, the other sport is drawing so much, you know, it's so popular now that it would be interesting to see one against the other, you know? And Mayweather, since it probably, I'm wondering if that would count on his record. Would that go against his record, or would it be a non, would it be a professional, let's say he lost, would it make him,
well, it depends, I guess, how the fight was sanctioned, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I don't think when Ali fought that guy that got on the ground and kicked him in the legs for 15 rounds.
Oh, no, that was
just
an exhibition match.
That was an exhibition?
That was just an exhibition. But here's the thing. I don't think Floyd Mayweather would do what Ali did and fight in a cross-discipline fight. I think if Floyd is going to fight Conor McGregor, it would only be a boxing match. It wouldn't be cross-discipline at all. So,
no, you can't let him kick it. You can't.
Yeah, Floyd would not do that. There's no way.
No,
there's no way on
earth
Floyd would do anything other than boxer's kick.
Well, McGregor said he won't use any kicking, just strictly punching, jabbing and punching. You know? But I got a kick out of the two of them. They are, and then the secretary got in. Not the secretary, the woman got in on it, too. And it went on for a long while. So
yeah.
I just said, damn, this thing's drawing a lot of attention. It was on several of the other talk shows. You know, McGregor's a pretty entertaining guy. He's very funny.
Mm-hmm.
Very funny. He wiped out that last opponent. He wiped him out with left hands. I mean, it was no contest. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know,
his
opponent, Eddie Alvarez, is from Philly.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, he's from North Philly.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, sir.
Well, he got the hell beat out of him. I know that.
It was a horrible style matchup. Watch some of his fights before. He was a sucker for a straight left. So he was fighting a guy at that weight with the best straight left and the hardest straight left in the business. Horrible matchup for him.
What do those gloves weigh?
From the straight left.
Yeah. What do those gloves weigh that the
4 ounces. Yeah, the
wow.
four ounces. Yeah. Or maybe they're six. I think they're four, though, yeah.
Hey, Ty, last week
back
you...
to,
okay.
When they went from bare knuckle, to gloves, that's what they use, 4 ounces. You know?
Who is, who am I thinking of? The guy we have on, oh, my God, is Danny Batchelder?
Danny Batchelder.
That fights for bare knuckle? Yeah, he'll
yes.
be the first one to tell you that he thinks it's less dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he says, when you see it coming, you know what you're doing, you know how to counter it. I'm going to try and get him back on. His phone hasn't been on for a while, but I'll try and get him on again next week. But Ty, last week we were talking about the match made in heaven with Big Daddy Brown versus Shannon Briggs. What's your thoughts
yeah.
on that? I know what Chris's thoughts and Brady's thoughts are.
Well, I mean, obviously, only in this day and age with the split titles can this be sanctioned as a title fight. You know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, only this day and age. And according
yeah.
to, is it the WBA we're talking about yet again?
Yes.
Yeah, or is it the WBA? I don't know who it is. But whatever sanctioning body it is, they feel they owe Lucas Brown this title shot because there's a good possibility that his failed test was due to attainment supplement. Thus, he was stripped of the title. The title was given to Shagaev, who was then stripped again. So they feel as though they owe Lucas Brown the title shot. At the same time, something screwy happened with Fresno Kendall in Florida or in Russia, so they feel as though they owe Fresno Kendall the next shot at the title. They gave Shannon Briggs the shot against Lucas Brown because he is their highest-rated available contender, believe it or not. But, this is the case of the sanctioned body. So, you know, I don't know. You know what? It's a fun fight to watch. Simple as that. You know, it's a fight. Are these the two best guys in the division? No. Are they among the 2 10 best guys in the division? Probably not. But you know what? They're two guys who are kind of evenly matched, so it makes for a pretty good fight. I think the moment we take it seriously as a title fight is the moment we stop taking the sport seriously altogether. But it's a pretty good fight to watch.
Good.
Well, wherever they train, wherever those two guys train, there's going to be a scarcity of food in the area. You know? I mean, you have to pay top dollar to buy a steak in that town. The Big Daddy looks like he eats. The other guy's no flyweight either. Man, oh, man. I mean, I think that Shannon Briggs, you know what? I think he could put a hurt on that guy, Big Daddy. Big Daddy's slow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what? Big Daddy's slow. He's proven to be slow. He's vulnerable. He's still raw and rugged. he's tough, though. And, you know, what it comes down to me is the Shannon – can Shannon pull the curtain on him early with superior, better fundamental boxing? Or does Big Daddy hang around and Shannon, known for having some stamina issues primarily due to his asthma, can kind of get reeled in by Big Daddy? Is that a possibility? So, you know, it's a pretty entertaining fight. What you're going to get, though, is two big guys who hit hard banging away, you know?
Yeah, you know what else would be a good match? They bring back Butterbean to fight Big Daddy. Two fattest guys ever to get in the ring. Butterbean and Big Baby or whatever they call him.
Yeah, Lucas Big Daddy Brown. He trucked Butterbean, man. He trucked Butterbean.
Butterbean and Big Daddy. Well, Butterbean's old too old now. Butterbean might have a son.
How old is Butterbean's
son? I put him in there.
Son, well, what's his name? Lima Bean? I don't know
who little Lima Bean is.
Didn't Butterbean, like, I think there was a fight where some guy sang the national anthem wrong and then Butterbean lost? Because he wore the Stars and Stripes as his shorts. And then someone
he
sang the national anthem wrong. What?
Butterbean was a character.
You know what I will say is he developed
solid
boxing skills by the time he was done. By the time he was done and started trying to fight MMA, he actually fundamentally became a halfway decent boxer. Nothing world class, obviously. That's why he lost to a 79-year-old Larry Holmes. But he did develop some fundamental skills that didn't look he didn't look atrocious when he was in there anymore.
No, it was it was comical,
Yeah. Well, King of the Four Rounders is what I'm saying.
Who are you guys talking about? Butterbean?
Yeah.
Eric Ash.
He said, when we were talking offline, he was
yes,
the...
Yes, sir. How's it going, guys?
Hey, Z, how you doing, man?
I'm all right.
Good.
Good to be back.
Yep. Glad to have you. Hey,
I apologize for being late.
No problem. It's always great. Ooh. At least you're here.
Wasn't Shannon Briggs gonna fight that other guy, the big guy, like
Lucas
Vladimir
Brown
or something? What's his name?
Lucas Brown.
He was
Vladimir or something. He had brothers.
He was trying to fight Vladimir Klitschko, but he hadn't earned a shot, so he was trying to talk his way into a shot, basically.
Yeah.
But doing a little bit more talking to try to get it, which was funny. So.
There's another fight coming up that sort of is a mismatch. Fortuna and Omar Douglas. I think that's like. Who's going to fight at Fair Acres or who's going to fight at the nursing
home?
Well,
that fight happened last week. And Omar Douglas actually had a pretty good account of himself, his first step up in class. I actually I work with Omar's manager. I do some advocacy work with Omar's manager, who happens to be his father, Big Omar. So, and we were talking about the fight going in, and he, was explaining some of the, things that he thought his son could take advantage of with Fortuna. And again, it was Omar's, first big step up, and hopefully this is something he can learn from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you something. I like fighting in Delaware. I support it all the time, and it's hard for me to talk negative about anything. But I'm a technical guy, so
great.
Omar's tough. I will say that much. Omar is tough. In the fight with Fortuna, he didn't show any defensive prowess. He didn't show too much offensive prowess either. Omar kept trying to swing a wide left hook, and that was his main punch all fight long. He caught Fortuna in the first round and dropped him hard. Fortuna was getting aggressive. He was coming, swinging at Douglas, and Omar caught him with a good wide left hook that drop Fortuna hurt him. It dropped. It wasn't the kind of drop that you see it on your behind. He dropped him face first for it. Fortuna got up, and he proceeded to outbox Omar with a stipulation on that, because I thought that the ref could have took 2 points away from Fortuna for holding. It got to the point to where the ref warned him in the fourth round, and by the eighth round, it was consistently warning. So by the eighth round, he was like, if you do it again, I'm going to take the point. But that's after four other rounds of warning, constant warnings. Not one warning a round, it's three or four warnings a round, telling him to stop holding. So Fortuna held all fight long, did not get a point taken. With that said, he outboxed Omar. He outboxed Omar to the point to where when Omar got inside to where Omar is comfortable at, Fortuna helped.
Mm-hmm.
Omar, he started getting a little, I don't know about frustrated, but I guess frustrated with the holding. He started swinging Fortuna around, started getting strong, put him through the ropes one time, slammed him down. So Fortuna hit Omar with some good combinations, to the face. That's why I say Omar, he needs some more defensive prowess, because he didn't, after the first
two. So
you're
not showing head movement, Z? You know, I was in New York. I didn't see the fight. How was his head movement?
Well, I'll put it this way. After the first two that Fortuna hit him with, he didn't seem to move with the third one. So, you know what I'm saying? Well, on that point, if you get hit with one or two, then by the time the third comes, your head needs to get offline or get away somewhere. And Omar didn't do that. I've seen four-punch combinations hit him in the face. Maybe one or two didn't hit him clean, but two always hit him clean in a four-punch combination. And if you know boxing, that shouldn't happen. As far as the fighter, Omar's tough because he ate those punches, kept coming forward. He pressed the fight all fight long. He pressed it all fight long. He just his technique failed him. I hate to say it, and I support Delaware fighters, but his technique failed him.
Okay. Chris.
Hey, I got one for you. It would be on the undercard of the. Big Daddy and Big Baby and the other guy, Donald Trump and the Vice President. It's going to be a charity event. 30 seconds. Did you see that?
And Biden.
Donald Trump.
And Biden.
What? No, I had to laugh.
There's going to be some fighting involved.
Biden said he'd like to take Trump out behind a gym and give him a shellacking.
That's what he said, yeah.
So Trump in repudiation said, here's what would happen. And he said, he makes it sound like he's blowing something over. He said, that's how long the fight would last. But I started laughing. What the hell? That's
Trump has
wild,
bigger dimensions. If I'm correct, Trump has bigger dimensions. He's a bigger guy.
Well, yeah. Yeah,
Biden's pretty tall though. Biden's not a small guy either though.
No, Biden's not small.
Let me tell you, Biden's Biden's a fiery guy, man. Trump's kind of a blustery bully, and you know what happens with bullies when you hit him back. And I think Biden's the kind of guy who hit him straight in his mouth.
I
favor Biden on the inside. I favor Biden on the inside.
Well,
yeah,
they get one swing.
Trump has a technical acumen to keep Biden on the outside.
Christ, there's been some comical things on TV lately. I had to laugh about that one. And then I saw Trump. I had no idea he was a great baseball player. He wanted to be a professional baseball player. He was a pretty good athlete. Yeah, he was playing first base.
He was a pretty decent athlete. Yeah, I didn't know exactly.
Yeah, he's not a bad athlete. And I'm saying, damn, I got to lower the odds a little bit on that one, you know. That's funny. Yeah, so they showed him playing baseball and catching he was a first baseman, and he was a damn good ball player. You know, I got a kick out of it. I know Biden played football because he played for Archmere. He was a decent halfback. He was their top scorer, and my old college roommate was the head coach there, John Walsh. And, John Walsh was there. He coached Archmere. That's when Biden went there.
Yep.
And I was playing golf about 4 months ago down at that court, and who the hell rides by but Biden, and he's in a golf cart. And I didn't know who he was, so I just kept walking. I walked up to the tee, and Dominic said to me, "That was Biden." I said, "Hell, I'd have said hello and talked to him about John Walsh, you know." Yeah. They just put the Daily Times they just had a column in the Daily Times, Chester paper, that Biden scored 3 touchdowns against one of our local teams and kept Archmere's undefeated record intact. So
they're both
athletes.
John's still living down off of Neyman's Road there, Chris.
What's that?
He's still, John Walsh. He's still down off of Neyman's Road, just over there by Holy Child.
Is that where he lives now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's been there for years.
Man, I go say hello. I haven't seen him in years and years and years. I often wondered how he was. He'd be about 78 years old now.
Yep. John's still in the same fantastic
shape. Where he is,
Yeah.
Oh, he was a Spartan. He took care of himself, man. He played fullback.
Yeah.
He played fullback. He was from North Catholic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I used to call him Father John. He was like a saint.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
A nice guy. What a great guy.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun with him.
He's at the 9 o'clock mass at the Holy Rosary every Sunday.
Oh man,
he was a churchgoer.
He was a churchgoer. Every time he went by me, he threw holy water on me.
Yeah.
He said there's no hope.
Yeah.
He said there's no hope for me.
Yeah. He and Ann had. In fact, Jack Bailey was in that class too. Do you remember him?
Who?
Jack Bailey.
No.
Yeah, Jack. Jack was a coach over at Concord, and he was our league president for IBO for basketball officials.
Well, you know, I'm glad you told me that, Frank. I ride by. I'm gonna look him up. He'll be in the phone book. I'll call and say hello.
Yeah, he and Ann still live there.
Yeah, he left Archmere coaching to go to coach his daughters. They went to Concord and Brandywine. And then he said he's going to go over there, and that's the last time I saw him. He said, "I'm leaving Archmere. I'm going to go coach my daughters."
Yep.
He
was the he ran the pool at Fair Blue for almost 40 years in the summer.
Oh, that's great. He
used to
come out Concord and caddy. You know, in the summer he was. You know, he said, "It gets me in good shape. I make a few bucks." I said, "You know, that's the last. You know." He used to come out there and caddy. We had more fun together.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad he's okay.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't run
into anybody. I don't even know where these guys are, if they're alive.
Right.
But that's great to hear that.
Yeah.
I know I was standing on a corner at Marcus Sook. And you know how when before 95 was built and John's coming up from Archmere, he sees me standing on a corner he rolls the window down. I said, "How'd you ever get to be an undefeated coach in football?" And he yelled back to me, "How'd you ever get to be a dentist?" They always get me. I laugh like hell. Oh, Christ. But that's good to hear that. That's good to hear.
Before we get you guys, I wanted to get predictions on the fight. I wanted everybody's predictions on the fight.
If you don't mind. Yep. Okay. I'm gonna write these down too. Go ahead, Ty. You start.
Man, I tell you, this is one fight more than any in recent memory. Where I've constantly and consistently gone back and forth. You know, more recently, I've been, when the fight was first made, I leaned towards Kovalev. Then I started leaning towards Ward, then Kovalev, then Ward. More recently, I've been leaning towards Kovalev. I think his power, his mastery of distance, is going to sell Ward up enough for him to eke out a decision. That's what I was thinking. But as I sit on this show tonight, I am going to pick Ward scraping a decision in a very competitive, contentious fight.
Okay. Chris?
If I'm forced to make a decision, I'm going to go with Kovalev. I'm going to go with Kovalev and his power. He has enough power, and he's mean enough to overcome. He has a chance to overcome Andre Ward's skills.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only because of that reason and the fact that he hasn't been fighting that much. I don't think he's the fighter he once was. And then not only that, he's moving up in weight. And there's a big difference in size between the two guys. And I'm going to have to go with Kovalev if I was forced to bet on it.
Okay, Brady?
So that would be my pick.
Brady?
I go with, yeah, same as talking to Chris. I go with Kovalev. I go with the power. I don't know if Ward could make it against a big guy like Kovalev.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Okay. All right, I'm going with Andre Ward. I think he's a smart fighter, and I think he'll pace himself a little better. I do think it's going to come down to a split decision, and he'll get it. But and I agree with you there on Ty. Z?
Butch, I'm going to agree with you. And you made a very good point. Ward paces himself better. One thing is, Ward knows how to control the time. Kovalev, he's a one-pace fighter. He's going to fight at that pace from that distance. Ward knows how to change all of that up. With that said, Ward does have to watch out for Kovalev's power, especially from range, especially stepping in. But the one reason I have to go with Andre Ward, his feint. Andre Ward is one of the best fading fighters that I've seen in a long time. When I say that, he'll open you up. He'll throw somewhere and then faint there. And then and that'll leave you wide open for something that'll make you faint. Ward doesn't have power. So unless and where I'm getting is, unless Kovalev is going to start walking through Ward, that's where I see him winning. He's going to have to kind of eat Ward's technical punches, technical timing, and walk through it to a certain point to establish his power. Outside of that, he has a puncher's chance. And anytime you have a puncher's chance against a boxer of that caliber, I have to go with the boxer. I pick Ward.
Okay. So we got 1, 2, 3 Wards and 2 Kovalevs. All right, well, we'll see how that goes.
No, 3 Kovalevs and 2 Wards. The only me and you on Kovalev are on Ward, Butch.
Yeah, I'm on Ward. Yeah.
I am too, so it's just me and you.
Yep.
No, I picked Ward. Remember?
No.
Yeah, I said no.
Oh,
I said,
you
I
did.
Thought
you
Ward.
Did.
I started
did
Kovalev,
Ward
but then he changed it. Yeah. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
It's hard to go
against
Dr. It's hard to go against Dr. Chris. As far as Kovalev goes, because when I went against B-Hop with Dr. Chris, I was shamed. And I just, I'm going to try it one more time. Next fight, if he wins, next fight I won't do it.
Yep. All right. Well, how about...
You know, I was trying to imagine the two guys approaching each other in the first round. You know what Kovalev's going to do? He's going to come out and throw that right hand straight at your head.
Yeah.
And everybody ducks under it. And then Kovalev goes over the top. He throws it so damn hard, he falls on top of you. And Andre Ward's going to have to go. He's not going to be able to back up from that right hand. He's going to have to go down. And then the only thing I don't like about Kovalev, he doesn't throw
he
a left hook.
He doesn't follow
behind.
With the left hook. He does not do
doesn't
it.
Follow
right.
up with the left hook, and it's easy to get under him, tie him up, And then, you know, I'm wondering how the hell he's going to, you know, he's got to have something. You got to have something besides a straight right hand. But he's so powerful that he's going to knock Ward off balance when he does throw it, because even if he misses, his body's going to crash into him. And they're going to, you know, but Ward might be the only guy smart enough to get the hell underneath and maybe score inside and win a few points and then back out, you know. But over 12 rounds, can he last doing that? I don't know. It really is a difficult fight to predict.
You're right. If Kovalev was quicker, then I could see that right. I mean, as far as that goes. Bernard Hopkins, judging on that fight, he's not as quick instinctually anymore as Ward, as far as reflexes. Ward is not the defensive fighter Bernard Hopkins is. I also believe he doesn't have the armor that Bernard does. With that said,
you know, Ward doesn't take the shot Bernard does.
Yeah, and he's not the instinctual defensive fighter Bernard is. What I do know is Ward can counterpunch very good, and he's always in good position. So Kovalev is not. When Ward lets anything go, he makes sure his feet are under him. He makes sure he's in good position for offense and defense.
Mm-hmm.
Kovalev doesn't. Kovalev has a puncher's chance. He has a dominant puncher's chance and a rangy puncher's chance, which makes it dangerous. But it's still a puncher's chance against one of the best. When Floyd Mayweather was out, I considered Andre Ward the number 2 pound for pound guy when he was out. So with that said, I have to go with Ward.
Okay.
Well, he's, you know, like you say, nobody can argue with you. If Kovalev comes out, here's what I'm thinking. He couldn't get. He showed the guy from Philly too much respect. He didn't go after him and try to knock him out of there. I thought he was meaner and he would try to want to get him out of there, but he didn't. And he managed to go 12 rounds with Kovalev. And if it goes 12 rounds, if it's a similar fight, then you're going to have to go with Ward. But I just think that, in my own opinion, I don't think that I think there's too much of a power difference and strength difference, and even for a guy as skilled as Ward to overcome that over 12 rounds, that's all. You know, I might eat some crow on this one, but you know, I don't know.
I don't know. I ate crow on the last one going with B-Hop. It's hard to go against you, Dr. Chris.
I'll shoot one tomorrow, and I'll have it ready for you. When Kovalev wins, I'll have you guys over for a crow dinner. That'll be the lunch we're going to have.
There we go.
Crows all over my yard. I'll get my damn shotgun. I'll shoot a couple of them. We'll see.
Me inside, we might have to eat that crow.
Let me ask you one last question before we have to end up here. Cal Brooks has decided he was going to stay at welterweight, and he's now calling out both Pacquiao and Spence. Ty, what do you think of that move?
Well, Spence's is mandatory. Pacquiao's the money, so that makes sense to me.
mm-hmm. See?
Pacquiao is always the money. Spence is the mandatory. I mean, it doesn't make sense to really call out Spence unless just to promote the fight. So, that's what it is. Technically?
I don't think it'll happen. I think it's just, you know, everybody wants to call everybody out, but the fight doesn't make good sense. I mean, other than money, you know? I'm not dying to watch the fight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not anxious.
I would watch Pacquiao and Kell Brook. That's a fight I would kind of be interested to see. Errol Spence and Kell Brook, I really don't think Errol Spence is up to that level yet. I think that there are honestly levels to this game, and I think Al Spence, I mean, he's fought pretty good guys. He's beat Al Jerry, but I don't think Al Jerry is on Cal Brook's level. Cal Brook, he put up a good account against Gennady Golovkin and beat Sean Porter. Right now, him and Keith Thurman should be considered the top of welterweight. I don't think he's ready for a top welterweight.
Well, guys, we're up against our clock here. I want to thank you, Chris. I want to thank you for coming out on again. It's always the color commentary you bring just brings a smile to everybody's face.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dr. Chris, I have your number. I'm going to try to give you a call this week to try to meet up with you, okay?
All right. I got my schedules open, anytime. I go by there all the time because I go to that golf shop, and every time I go by there, damn, I ought to pull in, and I'm always in a hurry, you know?
I'm going to try to tell you where Ty and I train so we can link up and you come see, you know, what we do.
All right, okay. All right. I'll be looking forward to it.
I'm going to be trying to call you.
I'll give you some good boxing books. I got them down my cellar looking through them the other night. All right, guys.
We'll
have something to talk about next show.
That's for sure.
All right. Take care, guys. Bye.
Brady.
Take care, Dr.
Bye.
Brady, you want to lead us out?
Sure. I'd like to thank Dr. Chris, Ty, Zito, you, Butch, and I'd like to thank Bobby. He's been leading us this all this time.
Yep.
I kind of forgot what to say, but
that's okay.
I haven't been on the
show. You're doing good.
You're fine.
You're doing good.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, buddy. I'll be over for you in a little bit.
All right.
Z, you want to go?
I sure do. I want to thank Brady, definitely Brady. I'm sorry for being late, guys. I want to thank Butch. I want to thank all you guys at Fighting Words, Ty. I want to thank Dr. Chris, and it's been a wonderful show. I'm sorry for being late one more time. These shows are definitely a memory of Bob, and wants to hear any Fighting Words, please do call.
Yep. Ty?
Hey, it was great being on with you guys this week. I sincerely miss you guys these last 2 weeks. Look forward to seeing you all next week. Enjoy the fight. Bob is our co-pilot.
But ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank Ty, Brady, Z. It's been a great show as far as I'm concerned. I'm sorry that Keith wasn't able to wasn't feeling well enough to be on with us tonight, but he will be on with us for in very near future. I also want to thank Mr. Mel. We hope that his health does keep improving and that everything works out for him. We want to say thank you to Ty for coming in with us again and congratulations on your film, and I hope it keeps as successful as it has been. Zito, I always appreciate everything you do for us. Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week. In grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, men and women of police and fire services. When you're out there and you see someone in a uniform, if you just acknowledge them, let them know that you know they're there, or a wink, a handshake, or the best thing you can ever do is say, be safe, my brother or my sister. This is one of the holidays that we'll be off next week because of the holiday. We want to wish each and everybody's family that listens to us a very happy holiday season. When you're out there and you're thinking about things, keep in mind that there are people that aren't as fortunate as we are. If you could just keep them in their prayer at your mealtime, it'll go a long way for everybody. These programs are dedicated to those who've lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colquitt, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Patrolman David Crawford, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Arnolfo Crispin, Lakewood PD, Deputy Barbara Pell, Broward County Sheriff's Office, Chief Al Hogue, Longboat Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PA Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, MIT Officer Sean Collier, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, Deputy Johnson Scott Pine, Orange County Sheriff's Office, Patrolman Robert Germain, Windermere, Florida Police Department, Trooper Kelsey Richards, Florida Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department, Patrolman Charlie Condon, Tarpon Springs Police Department, Sergeant Robert Wilson, Philadelphia Police Department, Louisiana Trooper Steve Vinson, Harris County Deputy Sheriff Darrell Goforth, Prince William County Deputy Sheriff Ashley Gidden, Euless, Texas Patrol Officer David Hofer, Hillsborough County Deputy Sheriff Charlie Kotloff, Wilmington Fire Department Captain Chris Leak, Wilmington Fire Department Lieutenant Jerry Ficus, NYPD Sergeant Paolo Salto, and our latest entry today, a former partner of mine, Inspector, can't even get it out. I'll add him to the show next. Vinny Delaccio passed away this afternoon at 1624 hours. His wife just texted me before we went on the air. So, my brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, sometime we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Till that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the sun shine lightly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hallow of his hands. Good night. God bless. Happy Thanksgiving. And have a great holiday. I guess that's not going to go on tonight.
Shem Alek Ma Yilama Shem Ahel ma son shen vorat fet akuig gen ma
1999. County Dispatch in 1999. County Dispatch in 1999. All units be advised, 1999 is now responded to his last emergency. May God rest his soul.